Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Yes, sir. Good morning, family. Stephen Langford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, leading you up until 6 o'clock. And then the morning roast will get your morning underway from 6 to 10. Today, gonna do something a little fun. Did everyone see this monolith in Utah? And if you don't know what a monolith is, it's basically a stone or type of object as the one that you've seen in Utah, the one that's been going on in the news. Well, apparently it disappeared. And now another one popped up in Romania. I'm not sure if that one's true. That was just a headline. Don't quote me on that. But it was something from a reputable news source that I saw. And it made me wonder, this monolith is just a total mystery. 2001: A Space Odyssey. Everyone's going back to that movie, the beginning of that movie. Because of the stone at the beginning, you know, and then the one that's with all the, you know, prehistoric people at the beginning. I am making this sound so dumb. But the monolith is a complete mystery to me. So today, coming up a little later on in the show, wanted to go through the guys or the teams that are still in the hunt and discuss whether they're a good team or a monolith. Are they just a mystery who will just show up out of nowhere? What are they? Are they an actually good team or a monolith? 888-957-9570 is a chill, not a body text line and the phone number. If you want to get in your monolith teams for the NFL season as you know, the final weeks are approaching and as we talk more and more about the playoffs, it's going to be right around the corner. I mean, this is the fastest slow time ever. I mean, we're already at the 1st of December, and it feels like when everything went down, you know, around March last year, and everything got shut down, it feels like time has been moving so fast, even though time is moving incredibly slow. It is a weird time right now. But playoffs are going to be here before you know it. And I do think it's time to discuss all of this. So actually good team or monolith? That's going to be a big theme of the show today. We'll also talk a little bit about Steph Curry, whose interview with Mark Spears of the Undefeated had a couple of things in there that I wanted to discuss. Plus, a former Warrior who is now officially retired. Just wanted to share my thoughts on him as well. But last night, we had a Monday night football game where it was not very entertaining. The Seahawks I mean, it looked like they were dominating the Eagles for a majority of the time, even though the Seahawks only won 23-17. And, I mean, this one was quite a mess in its totality. It felt like the offensive lines, both of them, whether for the Seahawks or the Eagles, they were both turnstiles of sorts. Russell had some clean time in the pocket. He was able to get the ball to DK Metcalf, but it didn't feel like any team was being really consistent. And Carson Wentz was just getting hit all over. I think he got sacked, what, 6-7 times in that game? It did not feel like he had a comfortable night at all. And everyone's looking at Carson Wentz, and Carson Wentz this, Carson Wentz that. He's not a great quarterback anymore. But that team, they just looked out of sorts, that Eagles team did. I don't know how they were atop the NFC East at one point. I guess it's because any team really could be atop the NFC East. But it was just a mess of a game last night, and one that really, there's not much intrigue, right? But I do think, though, that toward the end, I do think it would benefit the Monday Night Football booth when they have a primetime game like that, one that is not going to be that entertaining. On paper, at the beginning of the year, when you're saying Seahawks-Eagles on Monday night, oh, okay, that could actually be pretty good. And then you see the Eagles going into the season, and then you're thinking, all right, well, yeah, this isn't going to be a very good matchup. But the betting gods were not kind to those who bet on the Seahawks at -6.5. If you did last night, I apologize. I'm sorry. But it was something that I think could have benefited the Monday Night Football booth. Now, Brian Griese actually had something to say on the broadcast, which I did find pretty interesting. I do think it relates to the 49ers in a certain aspect, so we'll get to that in a second. But the game was, it was out of reach, right? There was no chance of the Eagles coming back from a 23-9 deficit with a couple of minutes left in the fourth quarter, and somehow they score this game-winning touchdown when they are in the Seahawks zone, or excuse me, not a game-winning touchdown, but a touchdown to just soften the blow.
Final 20 seconds. Here's Wentz. Why not? Deep ball in the end zone, and it is caught! For the touchdown, Richard Rodgers had it all the way.
And it was 23-9. And from there, it was 23-15. All right, so Eagles kick the extra point. They lose by 7. All the bettors who had the Seahawks -6.5, they win because the Seahawks won by 7. But no. The Eagles decide to go for 2 and break the hearts of anyone who bet the Seahawks at -6.5. I don't know if you caught them at -6, but that was something, that was part of the reason why I was watching that game. And I do think that it would benefit these broadcasts to at least bring it up, because it's becoming more and more mainstream now. And I get the whole situation. It's kind of a shaky topic to talk about for broadcasters, especially if they, one of them slips and says, yeah, I actually have money on this game, you know. But I do think it would benefit not only the broadcast, but also the viewership, so they could truly understand what they're watching. I think that if they would have mentioned that, that there's still a chance that the Eagles cover that 6.5 that they were given, then I think people would have been way more locked in than as opposed to what they were just watching last night, which was just not a very good football game. Although Chris Carson, in that run that he had toward the end of the first half, that touchdown run, oh my goodness. That dude, he's got a chip on his shoulder for sure. But also, another guy who has a chip on his shoulder is DK Metcalf, because Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz commented saying that, you know, he's not on the level of Calvin Johnson just yet. And then DK is saying, yeah, that made me mad, so I had a little chip on my shoulder going into this game. What else is Jim Schwartz supposed to say, though? You know, when he was the head coach of the Detroit Lions and you got a guy in Calvin Johnson who is getting just double covered right at the line of scrimmage, it wasn't man-on-man, it was two-man-on-man with Calvin Johnson. Having guys triple-team him and just straight smother him and him still being able to get touchdowns out of it, that's when DK will reach Calvin Johnson level. But when Jim Schwartz is asked, I can guarantee, I don't even know what the question was, but I can guarantee you when Jim Schwartz said it, he didn't just say that out of the blue. Someone specifically asked him, hey, does he remind you of Calvin Johnson at all? And then he just gave some nonchalant comment like, no, he's not on his level yet. And then DK took that to heart. I mean, that's just a lose-lose for Jim Schwartz. The reporter shouldn't have asked the question in the first place, although I get their job and they got to do it. But Brian Griese, this is something that he said last night, and I feel like it kind of relates to the 49ers because there's about 2.5 minutes left in the game. Game's out of reach. They don't really have much to talk about. And the Eagles had one weird play in that game where they brought in Jalen Hurts. I thought, wow, Carson Wentz, they're really just giving up on him that early in the game. They're bringing in backup quarterback Jalen Hurts already. And he just comes in for one play and that's it. That's it. It wasn't a trick play. It wasn't anything. And it ended up just being a penalty instead because it was a false start. And it was just a single play. They didn't do anything with it. And then they just took Jalen Hurts out the game and kept going in there with Carson Wentz. It's like you're wondering, what are they doing? Are you trying to develop a backup quarterback? What is happening here? And with 2.5 minutes left in the game, they kind of started talking about the future for the Eagles. And here's something that Brian Griese had to say, talking about the possible quarterback change over in Philadelphia and the reaction that's going on to the Eagles.
Jalen Hurts, who's to say he's going to be a solution here?
No, absolutely okay? not.
So you put him behind an offensive line like this and throw him to receivers that can't get open. It's going to be the same thing. Right. Everybody just wants to make a change for change's sake. This organization, this franchise, has a quarterback that's proven he can do it, and you're willing to just throw it away to see what the other guy can do? I wouldn't do it.
So it seems like, as of now, the option that the 49ers are going to go with is Jimmy G, and that's going forward in the future. And I couldn't help but think about the situation over in San Francisco, although they'll be playing in Arizona for the next couple of weeks. But I do think that it does relate to what's going on with the 49ers right now, because people, they have seen a regression, they feel like, in Jimmy Garoppolo's game. And like Brian Griese said, they just want to make a change for change's sake. And when he talks about they have a quarterback that's proven he can do it, the 49ers, on the other hand, have a quarterback who's proven he can do it also. The only difference in what Brian Griese was talking about is that he doesn't have much of a wide receiver core. He doesn't have anyone to throw to. That's different from Jimmy Garoppolo. But not all of his starters were on the field at the same time as him when he was playing in the game. And maybe we're just being a little too forward with it whenever the Jimmy G talk comes around. I just couldn't help but think about it when he mentioned that. And when he talked about, you know, not having a solidified offensive line, that's the only thing I could look for in the future is the offensive line right now. It is in question for the 49ers. And if you just throw a new quarterback in there right away and you expect them to make the 49ers Super Bowl contenders back to the Super Bowl contenders right away, I mean, it's sometimes we might overthink things a little bit. I just couldn't help but think back for the 49ers when Brian Griese mentioned that with a couple of minutes left in the game. I just was like, oh, that kind of sounded familiar. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Continue to roll your text in from the 209. Washington is getting better. And next year will be improved. Washington is getting better. Chase Young, when he's healthy, we've seen what Nick Bosa can do on a defensive line for the 49ers. Look what Chase Young is doing, the number one overall pick. He's a absolute, just a not number one overall, number two pick. He's a stud for the Washington football team. So I actually do like Washington's team, and of course they got Scary Terry McLaurin. These second year wide receivers, by the way, that's going to be something to watch out for in Washington, is Debo versus Terry McLaurin. But we do have the Buffalo Bills coming up, and I'll just say this: this is a little preview before coming up next. I'm going to talk a little bit about Steph Curry as well as a certain warrior who is officially retired. But this is going to be my quick take on the Buffalo Bills. Throw a Hail Mary on every play. Just throw a Hail Mary on every play. Go to the end of that game against the Chargers. See what Justin Herbert did. Everyone knows he's throwing a Hail Mary. They complete it. Everyone knew Kyler Murray was going to be throwing a Hail Mary. Throws it to one receiver in triple coverage. They complete it. I'm just saying, 49ers, you're going up against the Buffalo Bills, just throw a Hail Mary every single play. You're bound to get some points out of it. That's free of charge. Not going to charge you anything for that. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Triple 8 957 9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number if you want to weigh in on anything we've been talking about today. Coming up in about 15-20 minutes, gonna go through these teams in the NFL that are in the playoff hunt, and I want to talk about whether they are actually good teams or monoliths. What is a monolith, you may ask? Well, monolith, according to the dictionary definition, is a monolith is a geological feature consisting of a single massive stone or rock, such as some mountains, or a single large piece of rock placed as or within a monument or building. And I think that a lot of you have been seeing on the news, and I don't know if anyone has been as freaked out about it as I have, but this monolith, this object that was in the middle of the Utah desert, which looked like something out of 2001, A Space Odyssey, turns out that it disappeared. And that popped up on the news right before the show yesterday, and no lie, about 10 seconds before I went on the air and I saw that on the news, I just almost just retracted everything I was going to talk about for the 49ers and Rams, and was going to talk about this monolith disappearing. But if you haven't looked at, haven't seen it, I recommend you check it out. And apparently another one popped up in Romania. I don't know how true that is, but monoliths to me are just a complete mystery. And you don't know what you're going to get. You know, sometimes it shows up, sometimes it doesn't. And I want to know, and I want to kind of figure out through the NFL which teams are actually good, teams that you know are good, and which teams are actually just a monolith. 888-957-9570, that's coming up in about 15 minutes. But from the 650, what about San Jose State? Where will they play? That is a good question, because it was the news came down yesterday that the 49ers will be playing in Arizona at least for the next two games. And as Santa Clara, as the county has shut down any sporting events for the next 3 weeks, doing that last week and springing that on the 49ers. We also got to remember that San Jose State is affected as well, and so are the Sharks as they're heading into the NHL season. Now, the NHL hasn't designated a specific time for training camp, but we are wondering that where the Sharks are going to where they're going to play if, you know, these restrictions still come down. And this is a Shark statement, the most recent one. The National Hockey League has not confirmed a start date for a full NHL training camp or for the start of the 2021 NHL regular season. Until we have additional information regarding those dates, it is premature to speculate on how the revised health directives from Santa Clara County will affect the San Jose Sharks' plans to prepare for the upcoming season. And the latest we've seen with San Jose State is they are pretty much not sure yet where they're going to play. That's still in question. And with me, honestly, this is just my 100% honest opinion. This is the first I'm really getting to understand all of this. I'm not going to speculate on where they can play or where they should play. If I just had to tell you where they should play, I'd just say, yeah, they can play at Oakland Coliseum and just go ahead and play over there. But it's not that easy. So I don't want to just speculate on all that. But as of right now, the latest news is that they still do not have a place to play as of right now. But I do want to transition here onto Steph Curry because he did a terrific interview with Mark Spears of The Undefeated, and I wanted to get in a couple of things that he mentioned. But we always talk about how lucky we are to have Steph and the things that he does for the community, and he just talked about it with Mark Spears of The Undefeated. I just want you to take a listen to what Steph had to say, just talking about his work within the community.
Team leaves Oakland. You could have forgot about the town, but it's very obvious that Oakland is in your heart.
For me and my family, my teammates that have been through, you know, Oracle and playing in it for the town and feeling that energy, you can never forget it. And I think for us, and anything that I want to do in terms of the community, Oakland is first.
And him and Aisha, according to Mark Spears, have stayed connected through their Eat, Learn, Play Foundation, which will fund Oakland's town camp during the summer. And now they're opening a new court in Oakland, a new basketball court, through the Curry brand, which was just officially launched. And I think that just we all know how lucky we are to have Steph. Just not only in playing in Chase Center, we're going to be so lucky to have him here in San Francisco, but also just everything that he did in Oakland, the impact that he had on Oracle Arena at the time, and still seeing that he's staying connected within the community over there. It's pretty fascinating to see a guy grow up in his adult life within this area. A guy who is, you know, he wasn't born in Oakland or anything like that. So he wasn't living here as a kid. He was living in Charlotte and, you know, was a transplant over here. And just seeing the kind of connection that he has, it is pretty cool to see that with an athlete. But he did get asked about Klay Thompson and the news. And it just sounds like Steph is hungry for this year to start.
You mentioned Klay. Sounds like you had an emotional call with him.
With him, with Bob, Coach Kerr, to get that call was a gut punch for sure. A lot of tears, a lot of, you don't really know what to say because a guy like that having to go through, you know, two pretty serious rehabs now. But at the end of the day, we have to have his back. We hope that he's around and he's part of what we're going to do this year through his rehab and staying connected with us. We hear, you know, the chatter around. It's the end for us, and, you know, this year's a wash. I knew we were going to be aggressive in free agency, you know, even without Clay's injury, but it became more of a sense of urgency.
Yeah, that was something interesting that he said there. It was kind of just a non sequitur, really. But him saying that they had big plans in free agency, even if Klay didn't go down, that would have been interesting to see what they would have done had Klay not went down. Because I'm sure the plans with the draft didn't change because it happened about an hour and a half before the start of the draft. I'm sure those plans didn't change. I'm sure they were just planning on taking Wiseman with that number two pick, unless, of course, he went number one overall. But Wiseman was going to be their guy, and I'll get to Steph's comments on Wiseman in just a second. But for Steph to say, yeah, I think we were going to be pretty aggressive in free agency, even without or even if Klay was still on the court. That is something that, that caught my ear whenever I heard that from Steph. I do think they would have been way more aggressive in getting veteran big men on the team, which is something they haven't really done that I thought they would. But there's still plenty of time left for all of that. But we mentioned Steph and what he does within the community. And Mark Spears, the dude who Steph's doing the interview with, the senior writer for The Undefeated. He was on with the Morning Roast multiple times, just hyping up James Wiseman, saying that what Steph is to the community off the court, James Wiseman could be that dude. And Steph had comments about James Wiseman, and this is something that just gets you excited.
Draymond told me last week he thinks Wiseman can be special. Do you have the same feelings towards him?
I do. I think his demeanor, like, you can look at his physique and, you know, the raw natural talent that he has, but when you talk to a guy that just has that look in his eye, like, I'm just ready to learn, I'm ready to work, I don't think he's afraid of the challenge, that says a lot. And, you know, he's got it. He's got the it.
Let's go. Let's go. I'm excited to watch James Wiseman play. I really am. Now, it's a huge bummer that we're not going to be seeing Clay out on the court, and hopefully he's doing all right. But just hearing Steph say that, knowing that him and Draymond are going to kick him into shape a little bit, plus you got a young, impressionable Kelly Oubre on the team, Andrew Wiggins, who I have a feeling that in his head he's feeling like his career is being revamped here in Golden State. I'm looking forward to the season and hearing what Steph had to say. But from one starting center on this team to another starting center on this team, the news became official yesterday that Andrew Bogut officially retired from basketball. So just a big round of applause for Bogut. He brought a element to that team in the early days that really, you know, they didn't really have. They had Draymond, who was certainly the trash talker, kind of up and coming defensive player in the league, but not a guy who can scare you with his offensive ability. But Andrew Bogut did both. He brought that toughness, the mental aspect of the game. I think he kept things loose within the locker room, and his ability to pass the ball. That goes here in Golden State. Whenever I'm talking to you and you're listening on the radio, you understand how good of a passer Andrew Bogut was, especially if you're a Warrior fan. It's not like that's an underrated aspect of his game to any fan within the Bay Area. But to those who didn't watch the Warriors as closely as we did, I think that's something that also rubbed off on the team. So not only was it his toughness, but it was just his basketball IQ and knowing what to do with it and helping the role players kind of understand just how everything works in Steve Kerr's offense. So hats off to Andrew Bogut. Was always a huge fan of everything that he did. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Coming up next, want to get to these teams that are in the playoff hunt in the NFL and discuss whether they're actually good or whether they're monoliths. 888-957-9570. Stephen Lechford on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
AAA 957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. This is from Drake in Mountain View. When you get a second, you should see what the Arizona Cardinals tweeted last night about sharing their stadium with the Niners. Tweet of the year. The 49ers, of course, are playing in Arizona for the next couple of weeks. And the Cardinals quote tweeted the 49ers saying, "Just a few basic rules about the house. If there's any food you like, we suggest you put your name on it or it will be thrown out by us. And don't ever, ever, ever touch our drum set." It's always great. You know what? I'll give it a building applause. Yeah. That is just amazing. Amazing the type of impact that the movie Step Brothers with Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, it is amazing the type of impact that it has. the fact that you could still quote that movie, what? I mean, what is it, 2020? It came out in what, 2008, 2009? The fact that we're able to still quote it over 10 years later and people are still able to understand it, the type of impact that those movies had, whether you like it or not, I don't care. I'm a huge fan of every single one of them. They are timeless to me. None of them will ever get old. And shout out to the Arizona Cardinals. Did the 49ers respond saying that you have to call us Dragon? You have to call me Nighthawk. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Stephen Langford in with you, by the way. Thanks so much for tuning in, leading you up until the morning roast at 6 o'clock, and you won't want to miss today's show. I will guarantee that. But I wanted to do this little segment here. I wanted to go through the playoffs for the NFL right now and just go through these contending teams, the ones who are still in the hunt. And I wanted to talk about whether they're actually good or a monolith. Now, the monolith is that thing that's popped up in Utah, that triangular object, which no one knows anything about. It's a complete mystery, and apparently it disappeared. I don't know what this is. I don't know if it's a practical joke or not, but after watching that Bob Lazar documentary on Netflix about aliens about 2 years ago, still not over that. So seeing that little monolith in Utah and seeing it disappear at the same time, scary, but it's also quite a mystery. And I wanted to go through these NFL teams and talk about which ones are actually good and which ones are more of a monolith. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the sign on whether I think a team is actually a monolith or a team is actually good. Now, let's start with the NFC. Because you got the Saints at number one, the Seahawks at two, the Packers at three, the New York Giants at four, the LA Rams at five, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at six, the Cardinals at seven, and the Vikings at eight. The Vikings are 5-6, the Cardinals 6-5, Buccaneers 7-5, Rams 7-4, Giants 4-7, Packers, Seahawks, and Saints have 8 and 9 wins respectively. Now, I do actually think that we can count 11 through 16 completely. I think we can count them completely out. I would say the Lions, 4-7. No. Washington, even though they are on the up and up, and I do think that they'll give the 49ers a little bit of a run for their money in a couple of weeks, Washington seemed to be out of it as well. The Falcons at 4-7, Panthers 4-8, Eagles 3-7, the Cowboys 3-8. I think we could take all of those teams, 11 through 16, out of the running, but 1 through 10, I do feel like are at least in it. And here's the thing with the NFC. There's pretty much all but three teams, in my opinion, which are all monoliths to me. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Would like you to get them in. Who are your quote-unquote monolith teams? Who, out of all these teams in the NFC or the AFC, are just complete mysteries? We have no idea what they're going to do, even though they are in playoff contention. Number one, the New Orleans Saints at 9-2. Monolith. I don't know what to make of the New Orleans Saints. They've won their last two with Taysom Hill. Their defense is actually pretty good. They got some depth on defense, whether it's Cameron Jordan, Malcolm Jenkins, can't forget about DeMario Davis, Marshawn Lattimore. They got some pieces, but at 9-2, even though they're the number one seed, there's been something fishy about them through this season, and maybe a little bit has to do with their offensive line and it being banged up. But with Michael Thomas at wide receiver, one of the best in the NFL, Alvin Kamara, one of the best running backs in the NFL, this should be a no-brainer. I should be saying they're actually a pretty good team, but the Saints, to me, are the type of team where They're good in the regular season, but if you get them in the playoffs, let's just say they're the number one team, or they're the number one seed right now and going up against the Cardinals at number seven, right? Because obviously there are only seven teams in each playoff hunt so far, unless of course they add the eighth, but it's one through seven. So as of right now, you would see the Saints versus the Cardinals. I don't know who would have a clear advantage in that one. I don't know if I'd be giving it to the Saints just because they're 9-2 at the moment. Let's just say the playoffs starting now. They're still a mystery to me. Total monolith. That thing's creeping me out, by the way. Someone put an edit on it. And please, if you just have no idea what I'm talking about, just look it up. Just look up Monolith, Utah. It's this random triangular beam that was there, but now it's gone. And so... It's just like, what are we talking about in 2020? But somebody put just in regular font numbers as if it's a Southwest airline beam thing that you see in the airport. Cracked me up. But that thing is just, I don't know what's going on. But the Saints to me, monolith. Let's go to number two, the Seattle Seahawks at 8-3. To me, monolith. No idea what to make of the Seahawks. They should have dominated that game yesterday against the Eagles. And really, the Eagles' defensive line, they're pretty good. But the offensive line were still turnstiles. And if Chris Carson didn't bust his ass to get into the end zone, who knows what would have happened on that drive. Maybe they would have only settled for a field goal and that game would have been a lot closer. But the Seahawks just haven't looked the same as of late in the past couple of games. They've come back down to earth a little bit. But I don't know what to make of them at number two at 8-3. Now, they're 2-2 in their division, 6-2 within the NFC. And they win the tiebreak over Green Bay right now, who are also 8-3. But I just don't know what to make of the Seahawks. Right now, at the moment, it's just they seem to be they're a monolith to me. You know, one day they'll show up and Russell Wilson will be that MVP caliber quarterback that we've always known him to be. He will show his Hall of Fame status, but also sometimes there's only so much you can do when your defense isn't that good and your offensive line is letting defensive linemen go through like a turnstile like they were last night on Monday Night Football. So the Seahawks to me heading into the playoffs. Heading into the final weeks of the season, they are still a monolith. Number three, the Green Bay Packers. Now, at 8-3, this is a little bit of a different story. Wait, from the 707, it reappeared. Interesting. Yeah, it reappeared. I think it was in Romania is where I saw the monolith reappear. Unbelievable. But the Packers at 8-3. They've always been a team to me, and I truly believe that they are actually good. And the reason I think the Packers are actually good is because when they figured out, and when they have Devontae Adams as the number one wide receiver, and they figured out that you can really just go to him at any time, and he's a top three wide receiver in the league, they score some points off of that. Now, they did have that game against the 49ers on Thursday night, which was a little bit fraudulent to me. And you know, it might not have it probably shouldn't have been played because of everything that was happening with the 49ers and the reserve COVID list. But they are still 8-3 on the season. And I do believe the Packers are a very good team. I think Aaron Jones is terrific. The only issue is they did lose their starting center, Lindsley. Now, they paid back Tiari, their left tackle, and their offensive line has been pretty good. Not the same, really, without Brian Bulaga at right tackle. They actually had a really good offensive line last season. But their starting lineman is out in Lindsley. I still think the Packers are a very good team, though. If I had to choose any from those top three, from the Saints, the Seahawks, and the Packers, I'd say the Saints and Seahawks are monoliths, and the Packers are actually good. But that would be just me. Number four, the New York Giants at 4-7. Do we even count this? I guess monolith. I guess we'll call them a monolith. I don't know what to make of any team from the NFC East. I just know that any team will be going for that fifth spot
if they want to play that team from the NFC East, because they will be in the fourth spot no matter what, whichever team is represented from there, whether it's the Eagles or the Giants. I don't know which one it'll be. The Giants seem to be improving at least a little bit, but still, the 4-7 New York Giants, they're not an actually good football team. They're just in an actually terrible division. Number five with the LA Rams. Monolith, 7-4. Look, they are a good team. They're talented. They got Jalen Ramsey and Darius Williams in the secondary, who I actually really like. They got Aaron Donald on defense, but the one guy who I just don't know what you're going to get out of him come playoff time is Jared Goff. When that run game isn't working, when, you know, he's not making a Super Bowl run with an MVP type in Todd Gurley, when Daryl Henderson and Cam Akers aren't getting as much production as you want out of them. Now, Cam Akers had that nice 61-yard run, but you take that away, he wasn't very efficient running the football against the 49ers. They did real well in stopping the run, and they put the ball in Jared Goff's hands to go and win the game, and he couldn't get it done. So it's really, for me, it's Jared Goff with the LA Rams at number five in their seeding in the NFC that make them a monolith to me. Number six, the Buccaneers. Again, at the beginning of the year, a little shaky. Then as we went on, we're like, okay, why are we doubting Tom Brady along with Mike Evans and Rob Gronkowski? We are idiots for doubting them. Now it seems like everything is in shambles. I don't know who's blaming who. Their defense is really, really good, but their run game with Ronald Jones hasn't developed the way they wanted it to. Leonard Fournette, I don't know what Leonard Fournette is anymore. He could be a thumper at times, but also he could be a no-show whenever he is on the field. But Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 7-5 on the year and the sixth seed in the NFC. Total monolith. And 888-957-9570 from the 707. I asked, who is your monolith team? The 707 says the Cardinals. And you know what? I have to agree. Oh, man. One bad hit against Cam Newton in that game. And I don't know, maybe things go differently, but they did lose to the Patriots, who weren't looking very good, and they are 6-5 on the year. Thought they were a lot better to start out. And, you know, Kyler Murray looks like he's playing hurt a little bit. Don't know really what's going on with him, but it's 6-5 right now. The Arizona Cardinals are a complete monolith team. And then with the 8-9-10 with the Vikings, the Bears, and the 49ers, I just don't think the Bears are even that good. That's just not a mystery to me. I just don't think they're a very good football team. The Vikings are on the up and up and are actually doing things which I thought that they could do. The Vikings are essentially a run-first football team who should be able to play a little bit of defense, and they're going to win the time of possession game, and Kirk Cousins is just going to pick and pop you downfield. And with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen, maybe it took them, 12 weeks to figure it out, but they finally have. Don't really know what to make of the Vikings. The Bears, I'm counting out, but I'm also not counting out the Niners, not after seeing that game against the Rams, seeing the impact that Richard Sherman had on the secondary. Emmanuel Mosley is going to be playing a little more at nickel corner. Interested to see how that turns out. But with Sherman and Verrett on those sides, Tarvarius Moore and Jimmy Ward at safety, their secondary is looking pretty good. Debo Samuel has rounded out that wide receiver core, and we'll get some comments from Michael Irvin in just a second about what he had to say about Debo. But I actually think if the 49ers manage to squeak into the playoffs, that they are one team that other teams at the top, I don't think they're going to want to face. The whole point of this exercise was to prove the NFC is a complete mystery. The entire NFC, besides maybe one or two teams, monolith. That was the point of this exercise. Now, in the AFC, the Steelers and the Chiefs, those teams are actually good. We know that. And I actually think we could put the Titans on that mantle as well. But the Bills, being 8-3, their defense was a little suspect to start the season. I think we could count them as a good team. The Steelers, the Chiefs, the Titans, and the Bills. Now, the Titans' defense, they've given up a lot of points, but they will just outscore you with A.J. Brown, Ryan Tannehill, and, of course, Derrick Henry. The Chiefs, I don't even have to talk about what the Chiefs can do. And the Steelers, even though they're 10-0, probably going to go on 11-0 if they play in this Wednesday afternoon game. The top four teams to me are all relatively good and well-rounded. Whether it's the Bills with Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley at wide receiver, whether it's their running back core that they got with Zach Moss and Devin Singletary. Their defense is always a hard-nosed defense. They play Buffalo-style football. Tre'Davious White in the secondary. They got a pretty well-rounded team. I do think the top four teams in the AFC, you can pretty much count on being good. But the Browns, they're 8-3 this year, and they got a relatively easy schedule. Most likely a playoff team. Don't know what to make of them, though, when it comes to playoff time, because it feels like it's been forever with the Cleveland Browns. The Miami Dolphins at 7-4. Even though they got the win this last week, don't know what to make of them right now. They're actually playing well above expectation. And what Brian Flores has done with that team, with guys who not many people know about, I think it's pretty remarkable. But they are the sixth seed right now in the AFC. And if they head into the playoffs, total mystery to me. The Indianapolis Colts at 7-4. If I had to choose 5-7 on a team that's actually good, it would be the Indianapolis Colts. But how far can they go with Phillip Rivers? I don't know. I don't know about that. And then you got the Ravens at 6-4 and the Raiders at 6-5. Those teams, both of them. The Ravens, it feels like other teams have figured them out. They got a good defense, but if their run game isn't working, they can't get that pass game going to have them come back from a hefty deficit. And the Raiders, we know what just happened. They not only just lost to the Falcons, it's not like they just lost a one-score game. They got dismantled. They got embarrassed. And a lot of it was done with the Atlanta defense, something that was unexpected. So, you know, the Raiders going up against the Jets look like one of the worst teams in NFL history, but I don't, what am I supposed to say? Like, how am I supposed to evaluate this Raider team after what I saw last week against the Falcons, which is reminiscent of what happened last year against the Jets when they went to play them at 6-4 and made Sam Darnold look like Joe Montana, made him look like Sean Hill or Nick Foles. Two guys who have destroyed the Raiders in the past before. That's what the Raiders made Sam Darnold look like. But they also made that Falcons defense look like the 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense 20 years ago. That's how bad it looked for the Raiders. So a lot of these teams are a mystery. We'll continue to discuss the playoff picture more going forward. It mostly the NFC, because the AFC, it looks like you have a few good teams here, and the bottom half is all really, you know, teams that weren't really expected to be in that bottom half, but they're there anyway, maybe besides the Colts. But the Browns, the Dolphins, and the Ravens, I think everyone expected the Ravens to be a little bit better than what they are. But everyone in the NFC, it seems a little suspect. I did want to play this sound from Michael Irvin, though, before I get out of here. And every Monday, Michael Irvin joins Damon Radwankowski, and whatever he has to say about the wide receivers is always very entertaining. Listen to Michael Irvin, what he had to say about Deebo Samuel.
He runs so strong. That's how they, you know, the guys talk about it in the games. I mean, he's just such a strong runner, and he is. I mean, just a strong runner. But I thought it's almost like, you know, he's been sitting back, injured, and listening to everybody talk about all these other young receivers. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, you guys are forgetting about me. And that game was his, hey, don't y'all forget about me. I'm over here too. You know, we're talking about DK Metcalf, the AJ Browns and everybody, and not giving enough credit to Deebo Samuel. I mean, he had a phenomenal, phenomenal game.
Terry McLaurin, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, and Deebo Samuel. Rookies last year that went a little bit unnoticed. A.J. Brown didn't in Tennessee. Terry McLaurin became popular due to fantasy implications. And then Debo over here in the Bay Area, we knew him as that thumper. And he proved that against the Rams. Looking forward to what Debo can do next week against the Bills. 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Autobody text line, as well as the phone number. The Morning Roast is coming up next. Thank you for tuning in to the segment of Actually Good Team or Monolith. Kate Scott Show, the Butcher Boy Shasky, Bonte Hill coming up next. Thanks so much for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. 95.7 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.